The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Thursday, March the 10th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. On March 10, 1969, James Earl Ray pleaded guilty in Memphis, Tennessee, to assassinating Martin Luther King Jr. Ray later repudiated that. He said, no, I didn't do it. And he maintained his innocence until his death. Today in 1496, Christopher Columbus concluded his second visit to the Western Hemisphere. He left Hispaniola for Spain today in 1496. Today in 1785, Thomas Jefferson was appointed America's minister to France. He succeeded Benjamin Franklin. Today in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell's assistant, Thomas Watson, he heard Bell say over his experimental telephone, Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you. Bell was in the next room. They could have communicated that through the wall just by raising their voice, but nonetheless, that was a historic moment. Today in 1913, former slave, abolitionist, and Underground Railroad conductor, Harriet Tubman, she died in Auburn, New York. They think she was in her 90s. They're not sure because she wasn't sure when she was born. They didn't keep good records of her birth. Today in 2015, breaking her silence in the face of growing controversy over her use of a private email address and a server, Hillary Rodham Clinton had those servers. They were in the closet of their home, she and Bill's home in New York. She conceded that she should have used government email as Secretary of State. I would say so. Most of us ordinary folks out here would have known that. I think she knew it as well. But she admitted, she conceded that she should have used government email as Secretary of State. But she insisted she had not violated, she hadn't actually violated any federal laws, or she had not broken any of the Obama administration rules by running the country out of her closet at home, as far as her job in running the country was concerned. Boy, you just, when you think you've heard it all, you haven't. I think we all remember Hillary and her servers very well. Today in 2020, clusters of the coronavirus swelled on both U.S. coasts, east and west, with more than 70 cases linked to a biotech conference in Boston and infections turning up in 10 nursing homes in the Seattle area today in 2020. Speaking of the Seattle area, there's a survey out there. It's in a number of newspapers. Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned it. I noticed it in the Bellingham newspaper in Washington State. I saw it in another one. I can't remember which one it was, but it's put out by Wallet Hub. They are a personal finance website. They're not Christian or moral or anything like that. I mean, they don't claim that. They're just simply personal finance. But they do rankings and they do polls on just a whole bunch of things. Well, they came out with this this week, a couple of days ago, and it is the it's their annual study on the most sinful and the least sinful. They use that word, sinful, states in America. Washington State is ranked the 11th most sinful state in the country and the second most jealous. This is by Wallet Hub. I mean, keep that in mind. This is not, you know, a consortium of the Wall Street Journal and Fox News and so on. But they are, I mean, they're pretty well known in what they do. They, again, they're a personal finance company. But their study rates the 50 states based on how well-behaved they are, and across seven categories, and they do each state on anger and hatred, jealousy, excesses and vices, greed, lust, vanity, and laziness. And they used the data from each of these states' violent crimes, drug use, thefts, excessive drinking, gambling disorders, time spent on adult entertainment websites, time spent exercising, and the number of beauty salons. They use all of that to measure these categories. So that's the backdrop here. But Washington was rated the 11th most sinful state in the United States. And it had some of the highest rates. The reason it was 11 and not less sinful was that it had some of the highest rates of thefts per capita, but Washington was also one of the lowest percents of adults not exercising. In other words, a lot of people do exercise in Washington State, making it one of the higher scoring states for not being lazy. But when they put all of it together and come out with the Washington is the 11th most sinful. So you have to ask yourself, I did at least when I saw that, I thought, well, I wonder what the most sinful would be. I think some of you might guess that if you thought about it for a moment. Number one was Nevada. Number two, California. Number three, Texas. Number four, Florida. These are the most sinful. Number five, Louisiana. Number six, Tennessee. Seven, Pennsylvania. Eight, Georgia. Nine, South Carolina. 10, Illinois. And then Washington State. 12, New Jersey. 13, New York. 14, Delaware. 15, Oklahoma. 16, Arkansas. Do you know what the United States, you got to be asking, I mean, I did at least. I wonder which is the least sinful state in America. Perhaps your mind would immediately go to the Bible Belt or the Deep South. But no, it's not there. It's Idaho, according to WalletHub. Idaho is the least sinful state in the nation. Anyway, that's enough of that, but I would end that by saying that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. But Idaho, in their ranking, was the least sinful of all. So much is going on in our world today that is causing a great deal of stress, anxiety, certainly in and around Ukraine, now Poland, with 2 million people fleeing the country, fleeing Ukraine. I don't think Putin was quite prepared for what he has met there in the country, the resistance. I think it's been more and greater than he anticipated. Others are feeling the same way as they watch this thing grind on. People are now beginning to ask, what is going to be his end game? I think from everything I've read, I think he was thinking that he would roll in there and there would be resistance for sure, but little resistance compared to what there has been. I don't think he was prepared for that. I don't think his generals were prepared for the resistance that they've gotten. And people much wiser than I on matters of war are saying that as well. They're saying, boy, he was a little surprised. He is a little surprised. So this thing looks like it's going to grind on for a while. I don't know if it will, but just based on all of the information I've read and the people that I've read who know much more about war than I do, they're saying that it looks like this thing is going to grind on for a while. These people are really dug in Ukraine, and they just aren't going to go away until they're, you know, annihilated or whatever. So they're beginning to ask war experts, they're beginning to ask themselves and others, I wonder what his end game will be. I mean, at what point will he consider that he has conquered Ukraine, because that's the goal, or at what point will he be embarrassed in front of the world and back off a little bit and look for an exit? And the war people that I have read, our people, conservatives, are saying they don't see an off-ramp for him that gives him, kind of saves face, as they say in Asia, that allows him to get out of this thing, because it's already being noticed by the world that things just are not going as he had planned. So we'll see what happens, but it grinds on and people are killed. And yes, there is a lot of, boy, there's a lot of misinformation. I hate to use that word because the left uses it all the time. I talked about that yesterday here on the program. But there's a lot of lies and stuff put out that isn't true, but there is truth there, and we must find it. And this is not good. I mean, people are being shot in the streets, and man, it just breaks your heart. Little kids and families and mothers running with their children while dads joining up to fight and so on. But we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, our leaders really are looking like fools in front of the country. And I say that with no joy. I hope they are replaced at the election ballot in the upcoming elections, but I say that with no joy. Kamala Harris went to Poland yesterday, the Vice President of the United States, on behalf of America, still the most powerful nation on earth. Vice President Kamala Harris, she went to Europe as Russian President Vladimir Putin continues to assault Ukrainian civilians. So they had a press conference, of course. She's in a powerful position in Warsaw this morning. And the Polish president, this Duda is his name, last name, he and Harris were asked about the ongoing flood of refugees into the country. Duda was also asked a question at about the same time. There was a pause because Duda and Kamala Harris, were looking to each other to see which one was going to respond first. That happens in those kinds of situations, those press situations. But Vice President Harris threw back her head and started that cackling laugh that went on and on and on. I watched a video of it. That was this morning. She has no clue. No clue. It is a total disconnect where she's concerned. And if that's not enough, she did go on to say that we would be a solid partner with them against Russia. And she called for Putin to be investigated for war crimes. They have these words and they have them all categorized and they just spew them out. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. The cackling. Another tone-deaf U.S. official sticks his foot in his mouth again. John Kerry, he's the U.S. climate czar appointed by the president, by President Biden. He's already made a couple of cringeworthy comments at the start of this war. He said he hoped that Putin didn't forget his commitments to climate change and get distracted by this war in Ukraine. John Kerry said that. Well, he did it again. Now he said they were talking about migration and they were talking about people fleeing the country and so on. John Kerry said yesterday, he said, if you think migration has been a problem in Europe from the Syrian war and even more so from what we see now in the Ukraine, wait until you see 100 million people for whom the entire food production capacity has collapsed because of climate crisis. What a foolish thing to say when the world stands on the precipice of possibly a world war, depending on how Putin reacts to what I was talking about a few moments ago, his surprise resistance. This clueless comment from the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy on Climate Change came as 2 million people are running for their lives, mostly women and children, fleeing Ukraine. 2 weeks of intense Russian bombing and artillery strikes on civilian targets, including a children's hospital yesterday. And then he's pushing climate change, using the war as a pretext. I don't know, man. We're going to, starting this Saturday, we're going to be on, for those of you in Spokane, first and foremost, we're going to be on every each program of the week of this program, each a half hour long, 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours of the preceding week's programs will be on KTW 6:30 a.m. in Spokane. And they'll be on at noon, from noon to 2:30, 12 to 2:30. And they'll run back-to-back. I think there'll be an announcer or something, but they'll be running back-to-back. So if you miss one of these programs, or if you want to hear something again that I said, maybe I will live to regret. No, I'm kidding. But it'll be on as it was played, as it is happening now. We originate live at 9 o'clock in the morning. That version of the program will be on every Saturday, back-to-back, all five of the preceding weekdays program. You can also access that program if you live outside of the Spokane area through LBS, Liberty Broadcasting System, live streaming network. And we'll get some information to you on that. We'll get it on our website before Saturday morning, and then it'll be there on faithandfreedom.us. And so you can tune in and catch that at that time if you'd like. We're looking for ways to expand this program. We have a growing audience. We are so grateful for it, and I thank you for listening. And I know some of you who are listening do not agree with me. You do not agree with where I'm coming from. But I thank you for listening, and continue to listen, and maybe, just maybe, maybe we could turn on the light enough to get you to reconsider some of your leftist ideas. But thank you for listening. I mean that sincerely. And thank you all who support this ministry. We need your support. We're at a critical time now as we're looking at ways to talk to more people, because the need is greater, we feel. And I feel that God is urging us and moving us in that direction. So we want to reach people. I say this very humbly, but God has blessed this effort, and he's using it to speak to people that perhaps would not hear some of the things we're talking about from a biblical perspective. And I know that many of you understand what I'm saying, and thank you for funding this, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be on the air. It's up to you and me, and then it's, of course, always up to the Lord. So we'll do the best we can do, and thank you for standing with us. And if you have not been supporting us but would consider it, please prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us in this ministry. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. Our website is faithandfreedom.us. You can contribute there. And as I said, we'll get a link up before Saturday on how to hear the rerun, a block of the programs of the preceding week. The world is witnessing what is happening in Ukraine, of course. We've talked about it and have this morning again. Americans were asked, what would you do if you were in the same position as the Ukrainians are now? Quinnipiac University poll is a very reliable, it's not conservative, it's just a very reliable and respected poll. It asked Americans this last week, if you were in the same position as Ukrainians are now, do you think that you would stay and fight, or would you flee the country? The question was prompted by the fact that Ukrainian President Zelensky has publicly chosen to stay in Ukraine. He's refused an offer to help him escape, and he's done so publicly. The poll's findings are kind of enlightening. Perhaps not surprising, maybe predictable, but hopefully they're thought-provoking. And prayerfully, we will not find ourselves in that position, but who knows? I want to talk also for a moment this morning about patriotism. Should Christians, biblical Christians, be patriotic? There are those among us on the Christian left who say we should not be. We should only give our attention to the kingdom of God, because we are citizens of heaven. That's true. We are, if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. The team at Quinnipiac University posed the question, one that many Americans probably haven't thought about, or maybe if so, during this Ukraine invasion. The choices were simple. If a foreign enemy invaded the United States, What would you do? Stay and fight to defend the homeland or flee for safety? When confronted with this hypothetical, putting people in the shoes of the Ukrainians, Americans in the majority say they would stay and fight rather than seek safety in another country. At a glance, we see that 55% said they would stay and fight, 38% say they would leave the country. Republicans say 68% to 25% they would stay and fight. Independents say 57% to 36% say they would stay and fight. But Democrats say 52% to 40% they would not stay and fight. They would leave the country. Very revealing. Self-identified Republicans overwhelmingly say they'd stick around for the battle. Independents, the same thing. But a clear majority of Democrats said, no, we'd leave the country. We don't want to fight. You got to wonder about that. I mean, there's a lot of parts to that, and certainly we don't have time to drill clear to the bottom of it, and that's not my intent, but certainly 7 in 10 U.S. men say they'd stay. A majority of women say the opposite. I understand that. Take the kids and go to, I mean, get out of the country, go to a safe haven. I'll stay here and fight. That's pretty traditional thinking. But interestingly enough, Hispanics, 61, say they would stay and fight for America. Only 33% said they would leave. But African Americans say they'd fight, but 59% said they would leave. They wouldn't stay. Perhaps that's attached to some of the abuses and so on. I don't know. I'm just telling you what the poll was, the results. Associated Press noticed that these numbers align pretty closely with Republicans' outlook and the forecast for the upcoming elections. They say there is a rightward drift of Hispanics in America. I see that. Obviously, this poll reflects that. I found this interesting also that the Democrats are always talking about the country and about all these goals and progress and to build a more perfect union. Obama must have said those words 100 times when he was in office. Joe Biden would probably say them if he could more. But they're always talking about making progress. We're making progress. We're building a more perfect union. But do they really believe that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's in their mind. God knows their heart. But it's very revealing that they wouldn't stay to fight for their country in a majority. The majority said no, they'd leave, who identify as a Democrat or a left-leaning or left-thinking or very left progressive. I'm not making a political statement out of this. I'm just simply saying it's very odd that the people who are wanting to build this more perfect union would abandon it in a heartbeat if we were attacked. Does it mean anything to them, or is it just power and influence? It isn't addressed in this poll, but I wonder, would we respond the same way if the United States, say, if it wasn't Russia, if it was, say, China? Would that have anything to do with it? I doubt it. Also noteworthy is that sometimes people say things to pollsters in full honesty. Sometimes people say things to pollsters that they would like to do or they think they might do or hope they would do, but in the heat of the moment actually perhaps would react differently. I mean, that is a possibility here. But should biblical Christians be patriotic? We cannot love our country more than we can love God. Country cannot replace God in the heart of the biblical Christian. But the left has taken this, the people who would not stay and fight, they have taken this to an extreme where if you are patriotic, you are a white supremacist, you are a nationalist, or whatever, and you are not obeying God, because we are to be patriotic only to the kingdom of God. Well, certainly that's our first and foremost. That's an eternal commitment that God has made to us, eternal life, if we accept his son, Jesus Christ. But biblical Christians have a dual citizenship because God has created the earth and the geopolitical arena as we have known it for his purposes. He's placed us on earth for his purposes. We must not only be good citizens here in fulfilling his purposes, but be mindful that we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. But we must also remember that we are citizens of this earth. C.S. Lewis, in his The Four Loves, he wrote this. He says about the love of country. He said, the love of country becomes a demon when it becomes a god. So if we allow ourselves to worship our country like a god, then we are not pleasing the Lord in his order, in his purposes for this earth as we know it, and the political parameters as we know them. Much confusion is created today about the so-called Christian left. They can confuse patriotism and nationalism. Then they call it all patriotism. Nationalism becomes the demon that Lewis was talking about when it displaces patriotism because of ignorance. Hitler and all these despots, they knew that. That's why they became nationalists to the degree, I mean, they were already atheistic, but to the degree that excludes a God in heaven who is in control of all things. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 outlines that God has created nations for his purposes and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. His purpose, we're told, is to reach people with his love and forgiveness through Christ, his only begotten Son. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Pastor and evangelist and professor Charles Finney, he said the decay in his decay of conscience, and I've quoted this often, he said it clearly shows how God has put his people and his church on earth to be a moral compass and a voice to the lost and the confused culture. Part of what he said if there's decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the public is responsible. And he goes through a whole list of institutions. He said if Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. We are to be involved. We are to be part of what God is trying to do on this earth, and he has chosen to have borders and language and culture as the basis for how we live. I have a much longer and more in-depth study on Christian patriotism, and we're going to do that one of these days very, very soon. We're going to talk about how Christians should be patriotic, what it means, and the biblical references that go along with it. So I'll fit that in the next few days. You can be listening for that, and we'll go through it. I think it'll be helpful. I think that it will clarify some things, hopefully. Thanks for being with me today. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.